The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Before Jesus begins his ministry, he is baptized by John, touched by the Spirit, and identified publicly as God's child. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Children, please come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I'm glad to see you all come up and talk to us. Today we're going to talk about baptism. Does anybody know what baptism is? You do? How do they do that? That's right. That's right. The pastor takes them, usually little babies. You probably saw somebody do that, huh? Yeah, the pastor gets some water, and he makes a cross, just like what Jesus had crucified. Do you know why he uses water? Well, you know, water washes you. When you get your hands all dirty, get some soap and water. That'll get your hands clean, and Mommy gets happy, huh? Yeah. Well, the reason we get baptized is so we can be part. The last letter in your name is like a cross. That's nice. Yeah. Yeah, the reason. Yeah. Where were we? I'm learning. when you get baptized, then you become part of the family of God. And then the pastor asks the whole church and your mommy and daddy to help you make God happy the rest of your life and take care of you. That's a good part about getting baptized, huh? You get the whole big family. Did you know, too, that Jesus was baptized? Huh? You did. Yeah, he went to his cousin John, and he talked to John. He says, "How about baptizing me?" And John says, "Oh, I don't know. I need you to baptize me." But Jesus said, "No, we got to do it this way. You got to baptize me, because then I can save the whole world and set a good example." Jesus came to be an example for the way we're supposed to live. That's why he baptized just like you and me. And so John, he said, "Okay, I'll baptize you." So they were at the River Jordan, and he pushed Jesus down in the water. And then when Jesus came up out of the water, the whole heavens opened up. And you know what happened? The first thing you know, there was a Holy Spirit come down from heaven, right over Jesus. And then there was a voice from heaven that said, that Spirit looked like a dove. That's supposed to look like a dove. See, come right down over Jesus. And just like that. And then a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my Son. This is my beloved Son," he said, "whom I'm very well pleased." You see, that made God happy that Jesus was baptized and showed the rest of us how he wants us to be baptized. And it makes your mommy and daddy happy too when you're baptized. Yeah, and when mommy and daddy's happy, everybody's happy, huh? Yeah. Why don't we Why don't we bow our heads and thank our Father? Jesus, thank you for identifying with sinners like us at your baptism in the waters of the Jordan. Even more so, thank you for giving us your holy identity in the waters of baptism. As sinners now declared holy, help us live our lives so people might see you and be drawn to their own cleansing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Wayne, for that sermon. And I like that imagery, the imagery of the little dove coming down from heaven. It's a beautiful image. The verses in Isaiah 42, 2-3 caught my attention today in our Old Testament reading. They're such powerful verses. They show why Christ came to earth and was baptized to enter into God's human community. They say, "He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice." And I looked at that and I said, what did that mean? So I looked at a few resources, and it means that Christ did not come here loudly, but humbly and modestly, as we were reminded over the Christmas season. We see the same attitude with him even from the beginning in the creation story in Genesis. We know that God is there creating everything, and we find out that the Word is with God throughout all time. The Word is there quietly as God is forming the earth from the waters. The Word is with God throughout all of Genesis and throughout all of the Bible, quietly accompanying him. And then Christ comes quietly in the manger, befitting his personality, humbly, in an unexpected way. And then we see the same attitude with him that we see in the Christmas season as he enters into the river to be baptized by John. He does not yell aloud for people to watch as he is baptized and as God parts the heavens to give Christ his blessing. Instead, he gently meets with John in the river and tells John that it is right that John should baptize him. This is the way that it should be done. In his esteemed words, he says, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." He gently encourages John, who's understandably nervous about taking on the role of baptizer for God. Think about the change in John's personality, who is normally a very wild and a very strong man, suddenly transformed into that humble image, going, "Are you sure, God? Are you sure that I'm supposed to baptize you?" But imagine the wonder that he sees when God announces from heaven that this is Christ, his Son, with whom he is well pleased. Then the holy symbol of the dove, which is the Spirit of God, descends upon them. Two additional confirmations that this baptism is indeed the next step toward righteousness. This powerful and gentle image of the dove, a beautiful small animal that harbors the very spirit of the living God. Inside of it is another appearance of something meek that has such strength inside of it, just like Christ himself. These images, the image of a humble John who has lived using the power and authority of the Word and been radical in his lifestyle, an outsider to the nature of the world, and becomes meek like a dove when his God appears before him. The image of the dove filled with the Holy Spirit descending from heaven, alighting upon them. Jesus, humble in the flesh, gently guiding John to fulfill what is right. And finally, the water, the natural element, with which Jesus enters into the human community of God on earth, because it is also filled with the Spirit. These things that appear one way and really are more complex and powerful because of God than what they appear, these things are what make us rejoice in the Christian life. And the water, look at the water. Each of us in this room has been baptized. We have each been covered with this water. To outsiders, it looks like a strange ritual where a few drops of water are put on the head of the baptized and they are suddenly a member of the community. A more gentle version of many rituals around the world that increase a person's membership in a community. But we know the true complexity of this ritual. We know that Jesus did not come to the river to be baptized by John to say to John, "Hi, John, do you think that you could dunk me in this river? Then my Father will part the sky and send a dove down. It will be fun to watch." We know that the baptismal ritual is so much bigger than that. We are renewed in the flesh and become children of God in this flesh. We become redeemed. Our sinful natures are subjected to the cross of Christ. This is a renewal to the way that God intended for us to live in community with one another, a renewal of the bodies that are filled with the Spirit of Christ. And part of this is that baptism means that we have become adopted children of God, that we have a new Christian birthday. The old has been washed away to make room for the new. That emptiness that would fill our lives without Christ, the devil, the sinful nature that would try to rule us, has been drowned by the Spirit, who claims its rightful place in our bodies, its holy temples. Our Acts reading for today states that Christ's baptism was an anointing with the Holy Spirit and with water. Just like John says before Christ comes, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John has the authority to bring people into the community of Christ, but Christ has the authority to fill them with the Holy Spirit, to restore both the individual in their weakness, as well as the community and the larger world. Indeed, a Spirit-filled community is a powerful community. We will talk about this more next week with Epiphany, where the Holy Spirit comes down and resides with the people. But this week we have a sign of what is to come in Epiphany. We have the living Word himself using the Spirit to move through the world in a gentle but a powerful way. Do not mistake Jesus for some kind of simple peacemaker, for you can see what he did in his life, using the sword to cut away the weeds of the devil, to let the Spirit-filled plants of the people separate themselves from their sinful natures and bear the fruit of Christ. This is not a man who is here to bring peace to the whole world. Peace is not his goal, but justice and righteousness are. He is here to bring relief to the weak in the midst of their suffering. He is here to show the people what it really means to read and to live the Word instead of just emptily following the commandments. We see so much of this emptiness remain as we get caught up in what seem to be the bigger, more important things in life, and forget the things that are Christ-filled and more powerful. For example, the media continues to be a frustrating source of information, a socially unrestricted, fully accessible mess of information, where it is apparent that although many of us have been washed in both the water and the blood that Christ has brought, and our sinful natures have been redeemed by those sacraments, we still are not above the influence of the darkness of this world. Instead of focusing on what we could be doing to improve the world, to do ministry in the world like Jesus and those ministry leaders that we see in Acts. We get caught up in the elements of the world. In our baptism, we leave behind the old world, our old nature, like a snake shedding its skin. And we go off into our new lives, which are to be centered around the work that Christ would have us do. We are no longer the owners of our own bodies, of our own lives. Now I'm going to repeat that again because this is important. If you take away one thing with you today, it should be, we are no longer the owners of our own bodies, of our own lives upon our baptism. But we become more fulfilled in the fact that Christ, who has given us our spiritual gifts and the most precious gifts in our lives, guides us in the way that we are supposed to go, along the right Christian path which he has determined for us. But we get so caught up in the world, and that is why every day we need to die and to be reborn through the waters of our baptism. We need to let go of that snakeskin that keeps growing back to haunt us and trap us in that restricted, empty world that we are surrounded by, and that remains empty when we do not center our lives in Christ. For example, I find that there are pieces of news each day that I get caught up in, along with the surrounding community, and I wonder how this or that could happen. I worry about the economic state of the country. Who doesn't? I worry about why our basketball players are in North Korea. I try to understand why someone would steal donations from the Newtown community, or why the community in West Virginia does not have the water that they need when I do. I find that there will always be so many issues in society, the larger society and in our own community, that do not reflect the cutting away of the sinful nature of humanity and those reflections of sin in this world. And it is so frustrating to watch and to feel powerless with regard to those. But Christ coming in his gentle manner reminds us of something. Even God in human form was not healing everyone at one time or doing everything at one time. There is a plan to fulfill all righteousness, and today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus Christ, who shows us that everything has its time and place. And many times we cannot understand why things occur in those certain times and places. But although it is hard and it is painful, we still have to learn to trust God through those times. I want to tell you a beautiful story that I experienced last year while working as a hospital chaplain. Every time I think about baptism, I remember this story. There was a man in the hospital who was very sick. He was in the ICU unit. He had an infection, one that you get in the hospital. I can't remember if it was MRSA, but it was something like MRSA, something that's very, very hard to get rid of. I often went to visit him and his wife as the chaplain of that floor. I would talk with his wife, who mentioned what a wonderful husband he was to her and how much it meant for them to finally meet and to blend their families amidst their rocky paths. See, before they had met each other, they had both had sort of troubled marriages. They never really figured those marriages out, but when they came together, things were very peaceful. It was a natural fit, like it had always been meant to be. Pretty incredible. It was a story of renewal for me to hear because they had a lot of difficulty, and that difficulty was substantially overcome with their love for one another. And I don't know if she knew this or not while it was happening, but every day, sometimes with very teary eyes, we would be talking. She would be very scared about how her husband was going to be, if he was going to make it through all of this. And at the same time, Every day, the nurse would come in with a little sponge to give him some liquid to help him from being dehydrated. She would give him his little sponge, and every time she gave him that little sponge, he would say, "Thank you, nurse, and thank you, God." He would thank the nurse, and he would thank God, and he would say a prayer for the blessing of the water that he had received. Now, this is incredible because this was not a religious man, and this was not a conscious man. This man was very sedated, and one of the only things that he would say was this little prayer to God. And as the days went by, he got stronger and stronger and stronger, and he continued to recover until finally he was sitting up on the fifth floor. I remember this very well, walking into that room and watching him sitting up, casually eating his meal. He had just walked around the hospital floor when I walked in, and he and his wife were sitting there and chatting, and he had informed her that he wanted to be baptized. He had been surrounded his whole life with a Pentecostal family, but he had sort of been the odd one out, the non-religious one, the one that had never been baptized, and he was probably up in his 60s or 70s. His whole life he had spent without that baptism, even though his brother was a Pentecostal preacher. But he finally said, "This is the time. I can see the great work that God has done for me through my baptism. I remember praying to God. I remember communicating with God. I remember hearing the voice of God speaking to me while I was in that ICU and telling me that he wanted my life to change. He wanted me to come to him." And I was a little bit reserved as far as, you know, believing in such great miracles after seeing so many people in the ICU and so much pain. But this was an amazing miracle, and I got an invitation to that man's baptism, and I know that it happened. He finally got baptized by his Pentecostal preacher brother, and he finally came to understand that he needed God as a part of that life, which had been empty before. So what this tells me is that there are different times in our lives when we grow farther apart and grow closer to God. Each of us have those times in our lives. And baptism is not about a calm lake. It's not about staying in one state, staying in one holy state for our whole lives, remaining in that consistency of, well, I'm always close to God, I'm always doing the right things, I'm always being holier than thou. That's not what baptism is about. Baptism is more like a wave, like in that surfer term, you know, ride the wave. That's pretty inspirational for me today as I think about it, because God sweeps you up like a wave and puts you where God wants you. God doesn't let you take the control, and that's when our lives get harder, is when we try and have that control over them. When we try and chastise ourselves for, you know, feeling like we're more apart from God, feeling like we've gotten too busy, feeling like, you know, one sin is, or any sin is going to tear us apart from God. That's not part of the relationship with God. It's always that God is this big wave that's going to sweep us back to him. And as I reflect on this story of this baptism in the hospital, I also reflect on my own life, being away from my family, being, you know, and coming here I found to be so much of a blessing in this community with you all. And as I look toward next year, look toward Joe doing his job interviews and wondering, what's next year going to look like? I have to relax and think, ride the wave, and think this life is a mystery that God is in control of. We are not in control of it. We are just, well, We're a lot like fish. We're a lot like fish being swept in and out by this wave. And I think that's what we have to remember, is to ride that wave and to remember that we are not in control. We have to learn to trust God through each event in our lives, through each time that we struggle, through each time that, well, for many of us, physical or mental health or emotional health may not be at their strongest points. We have to remember that God is there for us, and we're going to be swept in and out in our lives, but that doesn't mean that God isn't there. It just means that this is a new part of our lives that we have to embrace, and we have to wash away that which is in the past and embrace that which is new. So remember, as you go about your weeks, that God is in control and we are not, and that it doesn't help to resist the current. Amen.